This is Trendy. This is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Red. If you're still going with your milkshake, I told you you couldn't do it. I told you. It's Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks and Mark Gander on Postcard from Pop Red. Do a sideways look at the news. And now we're going to go straight into the heartland of where Mr. Banks lives.
Why? What's happening now?
Up in Coronation Street. There's a dispute.
Coronation Street.
There's a dispute
His sat-nav has gone wrong and he's taken to the wrong place.
Yeah, I was coming to that in a minute. I know that wind him up. Apparently, one of the other big soaps in the UK is Coronation Street, which has always had a bit of a barney with EastEnders on ratings and the like. But the cast of Coronation Street, and this is hysterical for somebody like me who's a bit of a techie, have become involved in a dispute over pay because the omnibus episode of Coronation Street is being moved to ITV2. There is ITV 1, 2, 3 and 4. The reason why the pay is going down is because ITV2's a digital channel. Hello? What's ITV 1 then?
I don't know.
That's a very, 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 very good point.
Because for most people in the UK now, ITV1 is a digital channel, as is ITV2, 3 and 4.
And everything else.
So where
wrong. This is all about repeat fees, isn't it?
It is, but because it's a it is. But because shut up. Because it's a digital channel, it means that ITV does not have to pay the cast a premium for the repeat.
Really?
They're not getting a pay cut. They're actually being cheated out of their repeat fees.
Well, it sounds like a jolly good rule to me.
What? Because you don't like soaps?
Well, I've never seen Coronation Street, I have to say.
He's got to be lying, Eric. This rumbustuous life as a hippie and a friend to all the despots of the world, and he's never seen a soap.
Well, to be honest, I can only remember some of the very early things about Coronation Street, because my sister used to watch it in the house, and I was subjected to the evils of soaps, that and Crossroads.
Emmerdale is far better than Coronation Street.
I've never seen Emmerdale, because by that time...
I don't believe you! That's like saying you've never listened to The Archers!
I've seen J.R. Ewing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I haven't watched Emmerdale, Lee, because by the time Emmerdale started, I wasn't in the same house as my sister.
Yeah, but I don't live in the same house as your sister. I watch Emmerdale.
But why?
She's home not.
Because I fancy Kane Dingle.
Who's she?
He's a man! He's an alpha male. He's real hard and gets the
men. You fancy Miss Dingle?
It's what I was thinking as well. But apparently, there is a bit of a barney on it because it's thought to be they're only getting 37.5% of the episode fee they currently get for the omnibus edition on ITV1. But honestly, ITV, you are barking mad because ITV and ITV1 are both digital channels.
I think that's an amazing point to make, and I think that the people in Coronation Street should be chasing that up.
Absolutely.
These are the biggest stars in the UK, and they live in two up and two downs in the back streets of Manchester.
Well, just goes to show how barking mad some people are. One for Lee, especially. Sat-nav problems are going to be tackled by the government in the UK. In fact, they're even going to have a summit about it.
Well, I think this is a really important story for a lot of people, and also for me and the villagers where I live. I'm not going to go into the whole story because I did say to the people at the end of last year that we will break this new story when it is breakable, and it is so close to being breakable. I warn certain people who listen to this show to see where we're going with this. But the simple fact is the government have said that they need to put the right traffic on the right roads and get away from this absolute hell that's been created across Britain of the wrong traffic using the wrong roads.
Correct.
The A roads across Britain are bereft of traffic while the B roads are absolutely slaughtered. Mm. Now, they are going to do something about it. And it's going to. The only problem is, and this is the only thing that I see it about, that is wrong with it, the local county councils in April, I think, have the powers of the roads, the powers over the roads, devolved from the Highways Agency down into their boots. They will now control the roads. And Lord Transport Minister Norman, Local Transport Minister Norman Baker, has said that he will hold an inquiry into the traffic being on the roads across Britain. Guess what? He's holding it in March. How's that going to cure this problem? How are we going to have the time to do it? We've got 2 months and then a month between the meeting and that to decide. I think Britain is being conned, but RTIFM are on it.
We're there already. Going back to the Coronation Street thing for a second.
Yes.
Next story is in-car internet to become a norm, according to a survey done by KPMG. Are quite smarty pants over stuff like this normally. But they are saying that big manufacturers will be putting Wi-Fi systems into cars with 3G and all the rest of it. Hello! Where have you been? Come to Pop Bread.
follow your sat nav.
No.
You've probably come through our village.
You have reached your destination.
Come to Pop Bread. It's dead simple. You can. The technology to do this, in my old car, my old Mazda, which was written off more than 2.5 years ago, there was internet in that vehicle.
That's what I thought when I read this story.
Yeah, well, you saw it working, Lee, so you would have known. Equally, in my new car, there is internet in it. Now, admittedly, it wasn't fitted by the manufacturer, Mr. Renault, but it took seconds to fit it. So much so that when the boss phoned up one day...
And only a minute to nick it.
Yeah, it's really true. Boss phones up one day and he says, Eric, have you got a copy? Oh, no, you're driving out to so-and-so, aren't you? I said, no, it's all right. I've got Rado with me, so he can drive, and I'll email it to you in a sec. He went, what? I said, I'll email you in a sec.
That's amazing.
And he said, but. I said, hold on a minute. Rado. Yeah. Can you just blah, 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 swap seats over, you know, big brake jobs, off we go. Eric gets out, logs on to the car system. Yan, right, you got it now? Yeah. How'd you do that? I said, from my car. Yeah, but how'd you do that? I said, from the internet, in my car. And there was this deathly silence. And he's got a big, massive, huge car. Compared to compared to my little one, and I have had internet in cars for an incredibly long time now.
Isn't it dangerous to be googling while you're driving?
Well, one doesn't. One doesn't do that, dear boy.
Why one? Why would one not do that if you got it in your car?
Because one's not stupid.
Yes, but a lot of people are stupid.
Well, let's just imagine I'm in Gay Paris.
So what are you googling, you gay person?
No, and I happen to have a friend called Mark, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm driving around Paris.
Hypothetical, then.
I'm going to give him a little treat while he's in the passenger seat.
Oh. That is disgusting, Eric, and you know that's disgusting.
So what I will do, as we're driving around Paris, I will let young Mark listen to BBC Radio 4.
Right.
And he'll be a happy little boy, won't he?
He will be a very happy little boy.
And it can be done now. So please, when you're going to do this research, people, companies, associations, organisations, will you please look at the technology that's out there? Please work out what's digital and what isn't before you stick it out in the news for everybody to get confused about.
And, really serious, quite seriously, what is the most Googled thing on the internet?
Porn.
Exactly. So all these drivers because it's boring, isn't it? It's boring driving sometimes. What they're going to do?
Well, do you know what was actually funny? And I remember vividly doing this when we did our little fact sheet about how to put internet on your television on the cheap.
Yeah, I've still not got it.
Funny thing over Christmas, people were bringing out little boxes to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And costing around £250.
Right. Is this the one you would you said it was £39?
You can get laptops for that kind of money with broken screens because you don't need the screen from the laptop. You've got a big telly with it on.
Absolutely. You know what? I did actually get my laptop linked up to the telly, and I sat there and I said, "Look, I can read. I can actually read it. I don't need glasses. I can read it." And my son said quite positively, "He says, but you do realise you've got a 98-inch screen now."
Well, that's very true. Without my reading glasses on, I can't read normal screens. But at home, I can Facebook message Lee, which is pointless because he's never there, on the television without any problems at all. So I can read the script. It's easy.
And how amazing. Yeah. Brilliant. New technology's genius.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Talking of US, sorry, not US, talking about new technology helping out, a Canadian chappy who was trying to go across the US border forgot his passport.
Yeah.
Isn't that something we all dread?
I don't know why this is news.
Why?
Why? Well,
no, hang on, Eric. Let him explain why it's not news. Then we'll have him.
Why is it boring?
Well, because he forgot his passport, but he had a photocopy of it in his iPad, so he showed that, and the man let him across. Sorry.
But I'd be looking at the fact that how simple it is to breach the security of borders by look, it's all right, I am USA, it's on my telephone.
Exactly.
Well, not necessarily. I can imagine that the guy then went back to his thing, to his internet in his little shack, checked it up, and found out that the guy is who he says he is, and looks the way that.
Yeah,
it's not a prison border guards here. and I just don't find anything surprising about it.
Well, I just see it as a huge security breach.
Why does he need a passport anyway? It just seems to me that he ought to be able to go up to the border, put his fingerprint down, do a retina scan. They take a pic. They look at his picture on their own screen, and he goes across.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Make life a lot easier.
It would, and also, I mean, the amount of money spent issuing passports, amazing.
Well, that's true. But there again, we live in the civilized part of Europe, Mark, where we don't have that problem, do we?
Yeah, not the USA or Canada. No, blow that for a laugh.
Yeah.
Don't blow Canada.
Savages. Yes. I want to congratulate an Englishman, actually, who was knighted, who works for Apple. And Jonathan Ive has been honoured in the New Year's Honours list. As much as I'm not an Apple fan, I do think it's worthwhile noting that Mr. Ive came from Chingford and has been working for Apple since 1992.
Has he made a lot of money?
I suspect he probably has.
Then it's Kitchingford.
Oh, very good. But there again, you see, my point was, sorry, America, it's a Brit. It's a Brit who is the top end, making all the new designs. Get my drift, boys?
But may I also say to America, while Eric's poking fun at you, remember that Jonathan Ives has been made a Knight Commander. That's like being a fat controller.
Right. Serious point for a second. The British Heart Foundation says no kissing. Thank God for that.
Just finish your quote, as you put it. That's disgusting as well.
Yeah.
You've lowered the tone of this show on the first one back.
I mean, Mark, could you imagine seeing Lee laying flat on his back on the pavement?
And, yes,
exactly.
It's seen quite often, I tell you.
Well, I was in Kentish Town once a few years ago, and I saw a man talking to somebody and then suddenly fall on his face onto the pavement.
What, to the other bloke's face?
onto his own face, onto his back, actually. Well, I rushed up to him and managed to turn him over.
And he got a face on the back of his head.
And found that he was unconscious and not breathing. And so I started to do CPR, which means cardiopulmonary recovery, which means you do chest compressions and also you do mouth-to-mouth.
Did you kiss him then?
Resuscitation. And yes, and I kissed him deeply and profoundly.
Where did you kiss him?
On the bottom. On the mouth!
You're supposed to say on the floor! Don't have to make it
through. So breathing air into him.
Well,
and it went on for quite a long time. There was quite a crowd gathered around, and eventually some woman came out of the crowd and said, "I'm a doctor, I'll help." And so she obviously didn't want to do any of the kissing. I mean, he was quite an unpleasant man to have to kiss, I have to say. And I haven't kissed many men in my life.
Why was he unpleasant to kiss?
Because he was not very clean, and also because by that time he started drooling and vomiting out of his mouth. It was already pretty unpleasant. And so she decided to take the clean job and started giving chest compressions. And she said, "Oh, I'm a doctor. I know how to do it." She was dreadful. She didn't have the slightest idea. I thought maybe he was going to sort of come to because she was tickling him, not giving him chest compressions. And eventually I had to take over and continue it myself, which is quite strenuous, having to switch over from mouth to chest, mouth to chest. Yeah. And about half an hour, the ambulance turned up and took him away, and he lived for another weekend, managed to see his family, and then he pegged it.
But you saved his life.
Well, I saved his life so that he could say his goodbye, his family could say goodbye to him.
Oh, that's nice.
And that was about it. But what really cheesed me off about it was that I then phoned the hospital didn't bother ever to contact me, and I phoned the hospital a few days later, and I said, I'm the guy who managed to sort of keep this guy going, and I would just like to know, for my own peace of mind, did he have any communicable diseases, social diseases, because I just want to know whether I should be worried or anything like that. You know, I was happy to lend him a hand, but I'm just worried about having risked my life. And they said to me, "We're not allowed to tell you because it's confidential." And I could hardly believe what I was hearing. And I must say, I went absolutely mad. And I went round to the hospital and found a younger doctor who'd been dealing with him and spoke to him, and he said, yeah, look, you know, it is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not allowed to tell you. And I said, well, you know, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to encourage people to, you know, you're trying to encourage good Samaritans, or you want people just cross over the other side and what have you? And he said, look, I absolutely take your point. He said, give us your telephone number. And he called me a few days later and said, look, so I just can't tell you anything, but you've got nothing to worry about.
Well, that was nice. That was nice. Anyway, the serious note, which is a huge advertising campaign in the UK, is people are now suggesting you don't need to do the mouth-to-mouth part. Mm-hmm. It's more important to do the chest compression. And so, and what they're also saying is that some people are so nervous about doing the mouth-to-mouth that they do neither, which, of course, is even more of a disaster. So so the secret is learn the chest compression so you don't have to kiss any people like Lee, which would be horrendous, and that way you could save his life, or in Lee's case, you may not choose to save his life. Can I
just give a top tip to the ladies and gentlemen on this?
You can.
After what you've just been saying, yeah, right. Mm. Now, if you don't want to kiss somebody, right, say I am on the street, as Eric pointed out, on my back, suffering from, and you don't want to kiss me, I can't see why you wouldn't, but if you didn't want to piss me, and you didn't know how to do CPR, the easiest thing to do to get somebody to come back to life is heavy petting, because that doesn't half get your heart going in the morning, does it?
Mm. This is when you're petting yourself.
Probably
shouldn't say that. Yeah.
Page five, boys, as we move on. Apparently, there's a survey just come out that says men are most unhappy about their beer bellies.
Where have you moved on to there?
Page five. The Centre for Appearance Research.
At I'm the on page 11 anyway.
The sentence of the CAR.
Yeah.
At the UWE.
At the University of West England.
So 384 BMs.
Yeah. I have to say,
are unhappy about their BBs.
Yes, exactly. Because apparently they don't want beer bellies.
This is an initial study, you must accept.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Good, I like that. And I have to say, if you've got a beer belly, why won't think of the investment you've made?
Absolutely. Pounds and pounds, or dollars and dollars.
Dollars or euros and euros.
I think beer bellies are really unattractive, and I don't have a beer belly.
You did have.
Oh, you!
You did have. No, I'm complimenting you because you got rid of yours.
I did.
That's a compliment. Because seriously,
I started drinking red wine.
Because you've lost what, 4 stone in weight?
I've actually now, Eric. This is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Not a word of a lie. And I could put something on Facebook if I went on Facebook to prove it. I have actually lost now. I've gone from 21 stone to 16 and a half.
21.
Yeah,
21 stone.
He was a big fella.
Big boy.
He was.
6'5", 21 stone.
Big boy. Big boy.
Big boy.
Anyway, I don't...
Men most are unhappy about their beer bellies. I mean, what about women? Women are presumably are happy about their beer bellies. Is that right?
Probably.
Well, that's actually where I was going to go. A beer belly on a woman is far more unattractive than it is on a man. Some women find a beer belly on a man quite attractive. What I don't find attractive on a man.
So you don't like men with beer bellies, but you're quite fancy men without them. Is that right?
I like men with bellies and not without beer bellies. I just like men.
Well, actually, in Slovakia, I was described, when I put the weight back on, I was actually described as a real man now.
That's the thing, you see, across the world. There are, in India, I'm not going back to India for any reason, just that this is true. It is actually a prerequisite to present yourself as a masculine man who has made it in the world. You have to have a beer belly.
Indeed. Unfortunately for everybody on this programme, as we now move to page six, gentlemen.
Apart from me, I must point out.
Brain function can start declining at the age of 45, apparently.
Mm.
That means we're all doomed then.
I think you have a massive rise in brain function from being a child, you know, like a newborn child, until you're about six or seven or eight.
Mm.
And then, basically, it's all downhill from then.
But I don't get this. Surely, if you're the kind of person who
Because you're over 45.
If you keep your brain active and want to be open and want to learn and want to do new things all the time, surely your brain doesn't decline.
I think what it's saying is that there is a point where your brain starts to suffer from dementia, which, despite whatever it is you want to do, I've got to say, and I'm sure you two will admit this, that actually you aren't as fast. You might be more knowledgeable than you were when you were 25, but you aren't as fast.
No, I would agree with you. But I'm not saying my brain's dead at that point.
No, your brain's not dead, but he's saying it started to deteriorate.
No, it's my body that doesn't keep up with my brain these days.
You can't.
I think the general message about our human bodies is that as soon as you cease to have any use as a reproductive asset in this life, then your whole body just starts to pack up because nature can't be bothered to maintain it anymore.
Yeah.
And this is the cruel
100%
truth.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, there we are. There's no evolutionary advantage.
Gentlemen. In which case, we're all okay.
Yeah. Why? Absolutely. You've just got to keep reproducing as hard as you can go.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, my brain stopped now. I can't. Who's that?
And I think the other thing you should do, boys and girls,
I just want to see if it's a call centre,
is avoid listening to gold radio stations. Keep listening to new music. It's got more room for it.
Some of the gold radio stations are wonderful.
Oh, no. Facebook has been blamed for a third of UK divorces.
Yeah.
This has been cited by the divorce guidance website Divorce Online, which has examined the records of 5,000 divorces. And guess what? Here's the top three in reverse order. Separated couples making nasty comments about each other. At number two, Facebook friends reporting a spouse's behaviour. Duh.
Yeah, and, friends.
I'll come to the punchline in a minute. And number one, inappropriate messages to the opposite sex. Now, before the internet and Facebook and everything else, there were things called phone-in programs with Dr. Somebody and Dr. Somebody. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
They were absolutely everywhere, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And I could never understand for the life of me, for the love of God, why you'd go on one of these shows and say, I don't like my partner Lee Banks anymore because he does bottom burps all the time. Because you've just told everybody what he does.
Yeah. I mean, this is a particularly American thing, isn't it? I don't know if it ever catch on in England. I've never seen it. Does it exist in England now, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
And are they big shows? Who watches them? I suppose they're on at sort of 10 o'clock in the morning or something.
No, not on the radio, Mark.
Are they?
Yes.
They're not on Radio 4.
No, not Radio 4.
Gents.
What?
What are you talking about? I've just been dealing with a call centre.
Oh, God. We're just talking about Facebook being blamed for the third of UK divorces.
I think he's quite right. Eric will back me up on this. I did have a problem on Facebook with a young lady who I'd been quite friendly with, but not in a sexual manner, just in a grown-up sort of being friendly way. And that caused a lot of problems last time we actually spoke together, didn't it? Because she had decided that I was madly and passionately in love with her. And in fact, I wasn't. I just quite liked her.
No, but this is where we were at the time, Lee.
Rotter.
Was that, you know, I speak as one who worked on probably one of the best talk stations in the UK, a real privilege. And you did have programmes on there where you had the agony aunt. And how stupid is it to phone them? Because the minute, I listened to somebody yesterday, and the presenter had agreed not to use her first name properly, and they changed it to something like Sharon. All right?
Yeah.
And she admits on the radio that she's had more boyfriends than she's actually told her boyfriend she's had.
Long live Jeremy Quack, Kyle.
And I think hello, it's radio. You can listen. And
yeah, well, Jeremy Kyle used to be on the radio. That sort of TV and radio is genius. Remember back to when it first started, when they used to do health phone-ins.
Oh, yes.
And people would reveal the most awful secret problems they got. What intense radio that was, though.
It was brilliant. And radio was like it. I mean, I don't know if I've shared this story before, where we had a young lad phone up one day. He was paraplegic. And he bought some dodgy, illegal Sky viewing cards in the early days. He got his family to stump up the cash. They took him across to Germany. He got them as a sort of trader price because it was in volume. Came back home. And the cards all stopped in a couple of days. Now, I have to confess, I was milking this story like there was no tomorrow. The producer was talking to me in my ear and calling me a person of suspect parentage. And I kept this young lad on, who was now in tears on the phone. And just as he was about to apologise to his family, I took it to an ad break. And I was called even more nasty things. But it's great radio, and you can't help yourself.
And there is no difference between that kind of great radio and tabloid journalism.
All right, then. I find this quite funny. Google has told itself off. Apparently, the Chrome browser page rank controversy has come up, where Google has found out that Chrome has had some stuff on there which breaches Google's own rules. Therefore, Google has downgraded the Chrome browser page rank system.
Yeah, how amazing. They found that one of their associates was actually paying people to advertise the Chrome browser.
Contrary to
Google rules. And I have to say, hats off to Google. You know, I mean, yes, very silly, and maybe they should have tracked it down and so forth. But if they're prepared to apply standards to themselves that they apply to everybody else, I think there's a lot of companies around who could learn by this.
Yes.
Sometimes I like Mark.
Indeed. And I've got to finish with this one because we've got 1 minute left, and I am so disappointed about this, page 9, gentlemen. The BBC World Service, it looks set to carry adverts because the budgets were cut in 2010 by £270 million. Yeah. And so the plan is to run adverts on BBC World Service radios. This has been approved by the BBC Trust. And services that will carry ads will be Arabic, Russian and Spanish to start with. And although the good old BBC started in 1932, and I've had the honour and privilege of being on it, I just think it is a catastrophic disaster to put adverts on the BBC World Service.
It's a bad day for freedom of speech across the world. Now advertisers will be in a position to call the shots on the Beeb, which is something that they've avoided forever.
Indeed.
And now they've given in to
it. Absolutely right. But except let's not forget who's responsible for this, because it's a bank-created economic crisis, and this is the cost that we're all paying, including even sort of independence of a very, very fantastic institution like the World Service.
And that was the end of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. We'll be back next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
RTI, your choice. Yes.